Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Gentex conference call on the Kids Transportation Safety Act of 2007. Today's call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Connie Hamlin, Vice President of Investor Relations and Corporate Communication. Please go ahead, Ms. Hamlin.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this conference call. On the call with me today is Steve Dyckman, our Chief Financial Officer. And what we intend to do is to try to answer your questions related to last Friday's release of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's preliminary interpretation of the Cameron Gulbranson Kids Transportation Safety Act of 2007. This call is primarily intended to replace the many one-on-one phone calls that were previously scheduled for this week. We were initially trying to accommodate all of them one by one, but then had so many calls piling up that we couldn't accommodate them all, so we decided to host this call instead of doing the separate one-on-ones. Just as some background, the Cameron Gulbranson Kids Transportation Safety Act generally states that automakers need to provide technology in vehicles in the United States that increases the driver's rear vision and allows the driver to see what is directly behind the vehicle when backing up. We had originally believed that radar and sonar sensor systems with audible alerts might be allowed to provide a lower-cost solution to automakers, and we thought that the bottom 15 to 20% of all vehicles built for use in the United States would potentially be equipped with those audible systems instead of cameras. However, NHTSA, in its preliminary interpretation last Friday, determined that the audible signals do not provide the additional safety intended by the law and indicated that automakers must install cameras in all vehicles in the United States under 10,000 pounds by September 2014. This subject is open for public comment for 60 days, and NHTSA's final interpretation is due in February of 2011. It is our understanding at this time that the threshold is significantly higher for making any changes at this time. So just to give you an idea of what has changed based on Gentex's prior assumptions about the potential market for RCD mirrors. First of all, now that the audible sensors are no longer the potential base solution, given NHTSA's interpretation requiring cameras in all segments of the market, the addressable market for Gentex has increased to include the bottom 15 to 20% of the vehicle market in the U.S. Secondly, the phase-in schedule for cameras in vehicles is somewhat more aggressive than what the law had called for, and the deadline has been moved up by about 6 months from February of 2015 to September of 2014. The phase-in period indicated in NHTSA's preliminary interpretation is that 10% of all vehicles must meet the standard by September of 2012, 40% by September of 2013, and 100% by September of 2014. Analysts and investors should keep in mind that we continue to believe that this will be a very competitive area, as there are a number of different locations that the image from the camera can be displayed in the vehicle. Potential display locations include the rearview mirror, the navigation system, and other radio or multipurpose displays in the vehicle. 59 vehicle models currently offer a Gentex RCD mirror, and we estimate that approximately 10% of all vehicles are currently equipped with a navigation system or other type of display. While it's too soon to determine what portion of the market that Gentex RCD mirrors will take, we do currently expect that we will continue to see our RCD mirror business grow and that our mirrors will be offered on an increasing number of vehicle models. This concludes our prepared remarks, and at this time, we will open this up to Q&A.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Steve Dyer with Craig-Hallum.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just to be clear, so to use your rear camera display technology, you need sort of the base level auto dimming mirror. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So presumably the by my math, roughly 60% of the U.S. Auto population that does not have the auto dimming mirror. If they were to put the rear camera in the mirror, they would have to upgrade to that first, right?
Well, there is the potential where we could offer a prismatic RCD mirror, but that certainly is not our intent. We could potentially do that for customers that would want us to be their total solution if they wanted it in the mirror, but by the time you bring electronics to that mirror and put a circuit board in it and bring power to it, the differential between an auto-dimming mirror and a prismatic mirror is not that great.
Okay. I'm wondering if you could talk, obviously, on a very general level, sort of as to what your current patent position is surrounding embedding the display in the mirror.
I think that we have a decent patent position, but that is not the platform that we intend to succeed in the market on. I think that we intend to try to sell our product in the market without going through patent fights. We have done that in the past and have found that it is not the best way. The lawyers are the ones that tend to win. So, and right now, for rear view mirrors, we currently have probably 95% of the rear view mirror market for this product.
Is it just you and Magna, so far as you know?
Yes.
Okay. Great. I'll hop back in the queue. Thanks.
Our next question comes from John Murphy with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Good afternoon, Connie and Steve. Thanks for having the call. Just a question and just a reminder here on what is the dollar content per vehicle roughly on average for a mirror, a regular interior dimming mirror, and a mirror with the RCD, so with and without, just so we get an idea on the delta on the content.
A base auto dimming mirror is around $20 today. And what we've said is that the incremental value of the rear camera display feature is greater than Smart Beam, and we've said that was $65 to $75.
Got it. And thank you. And as we think about the margins on this and the plant and equipment that would be necessary to ramp up an RCDs, is that in place? Would that be incremental investment? Will the margins be roughly, you think, equal to corporate average? Just trying to get an idea of the investment and the margin that might come in place to supply the growth.
Yeah, what we've said to date is for the rear camera display, those margins are pretty much in line with the corporate average to slightly above. When you look at additional capital that's needed for rear camera display, it is additional equipment for a portion of a line. So to the extent that we're currently shipping auto-dimming mirrors and there's the add-on of the RCD feature, it is just additional equipment. Now, to the extent that rear camera display feature pulls auto-dimming mirrors, that would be additional units that would potentially, depending on the ramp, require additional production space.
Okay, and then also on the number of units this year, it sounds like you were going from about 570, I think 3,000 last year, and you said that you thought that would double, so we're looking at about 1.15 million this year. I just want to make sure we're getting the base correct in our forward estimates. That's about right?
That's correct.
And then just lastly, and I'll hop off, as you look at this adoption, that might be regulated versus what was coming in the market already, because you're ramping pretty quick on this product already. Which do you think will be faster, the market demand, or does this regulation kind of just sweep up the last, sort of the tail that may have never gotten these RCDs in it in 2014? It just seems like the market is adopting these maybe at a quicker curve than the regulation would even require at this point. I'm just trying to understand what your interpretation of what's going on in the market, because it seems like it's being adopted maybe potentially more quickly by a lot of vehicles already.
There is a lot of market acceptance for this product already, but you have to, I mean, we are on 59 different vehicle models, but we're still only on all the vehicle models that we're offered on, we're only on about 15%. That's the penetration rate. So there's a lot more to go on this, just even if we were to be made standard on the vehicles that we're already offered on. So I think that the ramp potentially, particularly as we move towards that 2013 date where the 40% is going to be required, that's probably more where we could get some more volume. But again, we are not certain where the displays are going to go.
Got it. And then really, this is the last question. I mean, is this you think this is purely a U.S. market product, or is this the kind of thing that could be in Europe and Asia, or are those vehicles just small enough that your rearview mirrors handle everything you need to see behind the car? Is this more of just a U.S. issue or product issue?
The legislation is a U.S. issue, but the problem with rear blind zones is a problem on any vehicle that you are in, even if it's a small sedan. Certainly, if you're in a larger sport utility and if you're a shorter person, the blind zone is larger, but there isn't a significant difference between a mid-sized sedan and a sport utility.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Himanshu Patel with J.P. Morgan.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
A couple questions. First, Ford mentioned, an earlier adoption curve on this than what the regulation suggested. Do you sense any other OEMs are toying with that? And on that same point, do you think we get to 100% adoption before September 2014?
I think that there may be some customers that get there sooner than others, but I still think that given the ability to charge for these features and make a pretty decent profit off of them, it would probably not make sense for the automakers to make it standard significantly faster than what they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicle cycles that they have to consider, and in order to meet that September 2014 deadline, there isn't a whole lot of time between now and then.
Yeah, and that kind of goes, to my second question. Historically, you guys have suggested that you're not really a fan of regulation, partly because, all of the competitive pressures that maybe that could bring. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on that now? I mean, this used to be a product where OEMs, sold in kind of a niche application, but they made very good profit margins on it. But now it's kind of standard equipment. So, is there a scenario here where either there's price compression that, we have to think about that isn't potentially in kind of the next, 1 year, but maybe over the next 3 years, or maybe differently, do you see just the fact that this is mandated as somehow inviting new competition into this space? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's really anyone else aside from you and Magna that do this, but I'm curious on your thoughts on both of those topics.
From a rearview mirror perspective, we would not expect additional competition just because of the IP that both Gentex and Magna have. From a pricing perspective, Steve can talk about that.
Well, I think, we've talked in the past about pricing pressures with our customers on our existing products, and I think if there's a quicker ramp of RCD that occurs, there is the potential that the annual price reduction expectations could be a little closer to the high end of the range we've talked about historically. And over the last 2 years, what we've said is that annual customer price reductions and been running in this 2-4% range, so that could go to the higher end of that range with a significant increase in volume. And I think from the legislation standpoint, there are a number of alternatives for meeting the new legislation. And as Connie mentioned, there's the navigation systems as well as radio displays and other multi-information displays. So the rear camera display feature in a mirror is not the only solution to adhering to the legislation. So I think it's a little different than some of the previous NHTSA legislative efforts like airbags and anti-lock brakes.
Okay, point taken. And then, Steve, just the issue on infotainment systems. When you're dealing with a car maker that doesn't have a RCD or an infotainment system in their car right now, and your development and purchasing guys are discussing the RCD, is it possible that they would consider? Well, first of all, I mean, have you seen scenarios where they are actually comparing your product to the alternative, which is, a more elaborate and expensive infotainment system? And if that has happened, is there any chance here that things such as infotainment systems actually see an earlier adaptation curve than perhaps what was expected before, which, sort of increases the level of competition, I guess, more in that middle segment that you guys have always defined as being kind of evenly split between RCD and infotainment systems?
The infotainment systems, you're talking about something completely different here. I mean, we're looking at safety systems as opposed to infotainment. And, I'm sure that there are cases where we're being compared with those systems, but it's a different network and a different system that we would be on for a safety system. And, I don't know that there's that much competition from that. I think it's probably more in a dedicated type safety display.
How would that be different, Connie, than the navigation? I mean, I'm using the word infotainment navigation interchangeably. You would view that.
Okay.
As
well, if you're using nav systems, just by virtue of their price, are going to be limited to a certain percentage of the vehicles. I mean, you still have the all-in cost associated with putting that system in a vehicle, particularly if the vehicle's not tooled for it.
Mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
If the one doesn't reside there currently.
Mm-hmm.
This is a difficult issue to try to understand where everything is going to go on it, because there are lots of costs that need to be considered by the OEMs.
And are there, lastly, any rumblings in Europe about potentially legislating this as well?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Jason Rogers with Great Lake Review.
Hello.
Hi.
Looking at RCD as far as competition with Magna, I wondered if you could talk about how your product is different from theirs as far as features and price.
We're at virtual pricing parity with Magna pretty much on all of our products. In terms of the product itself, our capabilities come in the ability to light the product and do it with fewer LEDs and while managing the heat. So, it's a different design than what they have.
Okay. And then looking at some of the other places where the RCD, where the rear camera could go, talked about the radio and maybe the dashboard somewhere there. About your thoughts as far as the advantage of having it in the mirror versus those other places, including tooling costs, differentials, and so forth.
Well, definitely from a safety perspective, all of the research shows that not only consumer preference is that they would have a display in the mirror, but that the number of backover incidences were fewer when GM actually did research with Virginia Tech, and it literally showed that the number of backover incidences were fewer when people had a display in a rearview mirror as opposed to in a system that was mounted in the center stack like a nav system.
And you would not be involved in any camera displays if it was not in the mirror, correct?
No.
Okay, and then finally, looking at capacity, assuming this starts to ramp up fairly quickly, are you satisfied with your current capacity? What is it currently, and how fast can it ramp up?
Okay. Well, you know, we talked about capacity in the past. We really look at it from two perspectives, and that's building capacity and then equipment capacity. In equipment, we add as needed, and we look at that very closely on an annualized basis based on our forecast and program awards. And so additional equipment would need to be added at such time. From a building capacity standpoint, you know, we'll need to monitor that. A week or so ago, we did announce that we did purchase a facility a few miles away from here to gain some additional production capacity for needs here in the near term. So that should be sufficient here in the near term, and we'll have to look at how this ramps in the future as we get closer to that 2014 date.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Leiker with Robert W. Baird.
Hi, good morning. It's Keith Schicker on the line for David.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Just wanted to kind of touch on what kind of opportunities you think there are to display additional content, safety content, et cetera, in the rear-view camera display screen, and what do you think the appetite is for that from automakers as you go about rolling out this product in years ahead?
I think that there is a lot of interest to put different types of safety-related displays in the rear-view mirror. Not necessarily right where the rear camera display would go, but you could pretty much utilize any portion of the surface of the rearview mirror and backlight it and put a display. There is research that's being conducted that where they're looking at how much dwell time, they call it dwell time, that a driver utilizes when they're looking at a display that's potentially shown to a driver either in an instrument panel or in a rearview mirror or in the center stack, and looking at how much time it takes them to recognize a particular warning. And I think that some of the results of that research as it comes out should show that the rearview mirror is a good place to put displays and alerts for drivers. So, I mean, I think that there's a decent appetite for them. There's interest in Europe to do that, just because, you know, the rear camera display is not mandated in Europe, and they're looking at different ways that they can utilize that display in addition to a parking aid.
You wouldn't necessarily think that the proposed rule from NHTSA would necessarily change the adoption rate of those sort of informational features?
Not necessarily.
Okay, and then what about from an engineering and development, research and development perspective to handle the incremental RCD volumes? Do we need to expect a big jump, or how does that requirement play out as volume increases in the future?
I think it wouldn't be proportionate to the increased volume in sales. I mean, the one product that we've talked about that takes a little more engineering effort is SmartBeam, because it's integrated into the vehicle's electrical bus system, but rear camera display is a little different than that, so it would not be proportionate.
So this wouldn't push you meaningfully above your long-term trend growth rate for ER&D?
It will increase it, but not proportionate to the revenue increase.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thanks.
And next we have Matthew Mission with KeyBank.
Good afternoon. It's Matt in for Brett Hoselton today.
Hi.
Hi. I know in the advanced notice of proposed rulemaking, they were talking a little bit about the size of the screen. I know you've talked in the past that the ASP is proportional to the size. Is there any mention of the size in this legislation?
Yes, it talks about the display being 2.8 inches on the diagonal or larger. And we currently offer a 3.3-inch mirror as well as a 3.5-inch mirror. So, I mean, the size, I mean, in terms of what they've indicated in the AMPRM isn't a problem for us.
Can you remind us of the how many models you're currently on versus Magna as far as the RCD goes right now?
We are currently on 59 different vehicle models, and we think that they're on two or three, to the best of our knowledge.
Okay. That's helpful. And as far as in some of your discussions with the automakers and maybe some of the lower end vehicles and some of the lower end of the market that may have chosen to adopt the rear camera display in the mirror as well as the auto dimming mirror, have you also seen an interest in additional content there beyond just your traditional auto dimming, like a compass or increased lighting or such, or some of the other products that you offer to go along with it? Or has it really just been, we'll do the auto dimming mirror and we'll do the RCD and that's kind of it?
Oh, there are different combinations of RCD mirror with other electronic features.
And what we found over the years is as we move down into the mid-size vehicle segment and lower, that the mirror is a good, cost-effective way for the automakers to bring additional features into the vehicle to differentiate their platform from their competitors.
So you would suggest here that if we're looking to model this out in 2013 and 2014, that we model out the mirror price for just the base auto dimming mirror, the RCD, and as well try and factor in maybe some additional content there as well.
There is that potential.
And this is just, this is the last question. And beyond your free cash flow, is your free cash flow enough to meet the investment demands of the additional capacity and of the rear camera display, as well as the current dividend?
We would expect that it would be, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Jeff Rosenbaum with York Capital.
Hi. Three quick questions. Excuse me. One, what's your expectation on the final recommendation, I guess, 60 days plus from now, in terms of the language around location within the vehicle? Do you expect further clarity, or do you expect that language to stay that broad?
Well, they have asked for public comment on the location.
Right.
So I wouldn't expect that they're going to say that it has to be located in one place or the other, but I would think the language is still going to be relatively broad in the final one.
Okay. Second, on the rear camera display, I'm not too familiar with it. Does it offer the software with the lines for backing up? And if not, is that an incremental add-on? And what's the incremental revenue opportunity from that software?
We do not break out what the graphic overlay, that's what we would call it, is. We don't detail what that costs, but many of our rear camera displays are already sold with graphic overlays, and what the graphic overlay does is tells you how close you are to something.
Okay, so the average content per vehicle that we referenced earlier in the call include or exclude that graphic overlay?
Well,
on some of the vehicle platforms we currently have, it includes the overlay, and others it does not, so it's a combination.
Okay. And then last, I know there's a question about if you see any regulation like this coming in Europe or other developed areas, but regardless of whether or not you see regulation coming in other developed areas, like the release out of Ford, is that meant to be on their global platform, so on their vehicles globally or only U.S.-centric? And would you expect to see your customers, on their global platforms putting this product globally versus just in the U.S. or only in the U.S.?
I think it's going to be a customer-by-customer basis, just like it normally is. I mean, they all have different strategies and for each of their products. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that there's any common theme there.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I answered your question or not. Did I?
Yeah, somewhat directionally.
Okay.
Yes, thanks.
Okay.
Once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. If you find your question has been answered, star 2 will remove you from the queue. Our next question is from Mark Johnson with Principal Global Investors.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Let's see. On the answer to the previous question about NHTSA talking about maybe location where this could go, I guess I'm wondering why they wouldn't say anything about that. Apparently, if there's research that suggests that there's an advantage in the mirror being or versus any other place in the vehicle.
Because I think that they want to still make this relatively broad and make it, you know, it's going to be somewhat cumbersome to automakers anyhow to have to meet the requirements of this regulation. So I think that they're going to try to make it as broad as they can within the scope of what the law says.
Okay. If they won't mandate it, is it possible they could actually make a suggestion to the automakers, or is that not even likely?
You know, I don't know. There really isn't a lot of history to show what NHTSA does in these cases. I mean, this is a very abnormal thing to be happening. I mean, they just don't mandate things. So, I mean, the only two things that we really have to use as a basis for comparison is airbags and analog brakes, and those were even though they were mandates, they were quite different from this one. So,
Okay.
There isn't a lot of history to show us anything.
Okay. And then secondly, there's current vehicles out there right now with navigation systems that have some type of a rear camera display embedded in that system, right?
Yep.
And are there any vehicles out there that have it in a radio display?
Not that you're aware of? No.
Have you guys ever thought about this from the profitability perspective of the OEM? In other words, putting it in your mirror versus a radio display, which option makes the automaker more money? In other words, could they charge the same amount for a radio display RCD versus your mirror RCD and make a profit on it like they would on your mirror?
On a percentage basis, just because of the law of large numbers, they probably would make more on a mirror than they would in a radio display because that's going to be more costly in general.
Right. So wouldn't that be an incentive for the OEM to go more mirror than radio display?
Potentially, but again, the absolute dollars on the radio display might be larger too. We don't know what they make off from the other displays.
Okay. But right now there really aren't any out there in the radio.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Dave Lim with Wells Fargo Security.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Connie. Quick question. On a mid-cycle vehicle, when they, let's say, a mid-cycle vehicle, OEMs decide to put in some sort of rear camera display and the product doesn't have navigation, how quickly can the OEMs install a rear camera display? Is it as simple as just putting another wiring harness, et cetera, or can we get an idea of the speed of implementation?
Yep. It's basically attaching a camera wire harness to the rearview mirror. So, I mean, we could do it in 9 months to a year.
9 months to a year.
It's relatively quick.
Gotcha. And then I don't know if you could really give us color on this, but out of the options there, how would you categorize from a cost perspective your technology to the OEM, like on a piece cost basis relative to, let's say, navigation or some of the other options there? I mean, would you be on the more of the lower cost solution end, or obviously wouldn't be on the high cost solution end compared to a navigation system?
It would be the lower cost.
Lower cost, okay. And then finally, I've got two more actually. On capacity utilization, when you look at your current footprint right now, I know that, how would you characterize the space in your factory? I mean, do you, from a square footage standpoint, is there much room, or is it pretty much filled, or how would you characterize that?
Okay. Well, with the purchase of the new facility in Holland Township a few miles away, that will free up additional space in our existing automotive plants for additional capacity for future growth.
Gotcha. And so, in other words, you still have a little bit more to go, but depending on how the trajectory is on the adoption curve, then at that time you would reconsider what your options are.
Correct. I mean, when we looked at our forecast, there were certain areas within the production manufacturing group that were getting tight on capacity, which is why we looked at this available building a few miles away.
Gotcha. Now, have you guys ever released the number of how many mirrors you guys could produce off the current base right now?
We had said, and it's in our IR presentation, that based on current product mix for interior mirrors, it's around 15 to 20 million mirror units, and exterior mirrors just under 9 million units. And so that obviously changes as our products become more complex, too.
Got it. So 15 to 20 million interior, 9 million exterior.
Yeah.
And then finally, on Ford's release recently, we know obviously we had much success with Ford. I mean, can we extrapolate that success will continue in relation to Ford's announcement several days ago?
Well, Ford has been a customer that's been growing, and actually the only customer during the downturn that continued to grow. And, we expect to continue to grow our business with Ford as they add additional features and content to their vehicles.
Gotcha. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
From Comer Investments, our next question comes from Steve Bowen.
Hey, gang.
Hey.
Hey, just quick, I got two questions here. First one, just to double check that I'm thinking about this accurately, Connie had mentioned earlier a couple times the 59 models that a rear camera's on currently.
Yep.
Could you break that down, even ballpark, U.S. versus non-U.S.?
It's most of it's U.S. There's two European models on there.
Okay. And so if with rough guidance, I think it's slightly higher of 1 million units this year for rear camera display, right?
Yep.
So if my math is right, if we're currently 15% penetrated on existing models, and that's 1 million units, then those 59 models represent around 6 million total units?
No, I think what Connie was saying earlier is the 15% she referred to would be an average take rate on the platforms we currently have.
Okay. But so what's – I guess I'm thinking about this wrong, because if it's a 15% take rate on the models you have, I mean, it sounds like a big number, but where would I be wrong to think that it was 6 million models, 6 million units?
All the production volume of the vehicles that we're on?
Yeah.
Is what you're getting at?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
The name, essentially the nameplate, right?
Yep.
So, you know, ballpark, again, with, you know, almost all the models being U.S., that's obviously a pretty big piece of the total domestic production.
Yeah, the thing to keep in mind when we provided the average option take rate, the range varies, and on some of the higher volume vehicles, the
right.
actual take rate percentage could be much lower.
Right.
So, your analysis would
be. Yeah, with NAFTA and what have you.
So
okay. And then just the second question, as it relates to the new facility you announced, given your visibility into production, et cetera, in the past anyways, they've been greenfield expansions and have been done far enough in advance. Well, you're breaking ground, I don't know, a year or so in advance of actual production. It seems like from the press release that the demand for additional capacity might have surprised and exceeded your original planning. If so, is that case? I don't know, maybe something accelerated such that you needed additional capacity, I think, as quickly as March next year?
In certain areas, when we looked out to next spring and into next year, there were a few areas within the production group that was looking to be a little tight on the capacity side.
Okay.
And, Steve, the thing is, I mean, again, it's the kind of the law of large numbers. When we start looking at having to flex our capacity a little bit now, it's adding a new plant. It's not just adding a shift. I mean, we're running two and a half shifts already. There's not any room to flex.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thanks for taking my questions.
Our next question is a follow-up question from John Murphy with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thanks for taking on the follow-up question. Just as you were talking, something came to mind. I mean, if the legislation is showing that a camera with a display is a superior image relative to the rearview mirror itself, and that it's putting that image in the mirror itself, is there any risk that the automakers just go with a display in the place of the rearview mirror and the camera all the time? I mean, it seems like the legislation is saying that this image and this camera give you a superior view of the rear of the car as opposed to the mirror. I'm just trying to understand if there's any automakers that you've heard of that are going straight to just this, you know, straight screen and RCD.
Are you talking about eliminating the rearview mirror?
Well, what this legislation is saying is that the camera and the display give you a better view of the back of the car. I'm just trying to understand if you've heard of any automakers or you're talking to any automakers of just going to a display all the time.
No, and what the research shows is that the location of the display being in a rearview mirror, that the driver has to take their eyes off from the road less than they need to if they're looking down at a nav screen or, you know, if it was someplace else. That's the research that I was talking about. Maybe we're misinterpreting your question, but...
Yeah, no, I was just curious because, I mean, if the image is the better, I mean, the image gives you a better view of the rear of the car, I just, sort of question whether that would be the image that you'd want to see all the time where you can actually see the back of the car better than what is a hampered view in the mirror, which is what this legislation is saying. Right?
I don't think that you want to see the rear of your vehicle when you're driving down the road.
Okay.
You need to see it when you're in reverse, really. When you're driving down the road,
But you have rear view mirrors. I mean, the whole point of a rear view mirror is to see behind you. I mean, if you want to see it in the mirror, you want to see it in an image, you still want to see behind the car while you're driving.
Right.
And that's the whole point of a rear view mirror.
But what you're seeing in the camera, in the view, in the aperture of that camera is pointed downward at the, basically...
Below the car, or the low. The
below
low.
The car, so that you could see something directly on the ground behind the vehicle if you need to.
Got it. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from Brett Hoselton with KeyBank.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Connie. How are you?
Good. You're here.
Yeah. Hey, I was, I'm actually in New York City as opposed to being there, but that's okay. What is the most significant limitation or bottleneck to the scalability of you being able to ramp up production of this product? I mean, might it be capacity? Might it be engineering resources? What might be the most significant bottleneck?
Well, I think depending on the significance of the ramp, capacity could be an issue, and depending on customers' needs and desires for something unique from an existing version of our rear camera display feature would then dictate the capacity issues on the ER&D line.
My second question, kind of leading up to this point, if I remember correctly, you've stated that the OEM, the automaker customer's attitude, seemed to be, you know, not necessarily in all of them, but most of them seem to be kind of a wait-and-see reaction. In other words, seemed like only one or two or a handful were thinking, this is the direction we're taking, we're going to definitely put it in this location or that location, and this is how we're going to address it. It sounded like what you were saying before was most of the automaker customers you were talking to were kind of saying, well, let's wait and see where the legislation goes, and then we'll decide how we're going to address it specifically. Is my understanding correct, and where are the automakers today?
We haven't. I mean, this just came out on Friday, so we haven't had people rushing to our doors to do anything. I mean, I think that the automakers now have a good indication of which way they need to go. So I think that they're going to be making some plans in the next few months for sure. But, I mean, we haven't seen any changes as a result of this on Friday.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, prior to the announcement on Friday, what were they thinking?
They haven't said. They still have been kind of in a wait-and-see kind of mode.
Okay. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our final question is a follow-up question from Jason Rogers with Great Lakes Review.
Thanks for taking the follow-up. Looking at it, talking again about the location of the camera, just putting aside concerns or preference from the consumer, when you have conversation with your customers, your automotive customers, do they look at console space as something that they need to conserve? What I'm getting at is, you know, if this would be located in the radio, I'd have to imagine that the radio would be a good deal larger than it is currently to be able to, you know, to fit one of these 2.8-inch displays into it. So is that a concern from the automakers, console space, and having to incorporate a larger radio for this camera display?
Yes, it is. And not only console space, but the console content and overtaxing the consumer by putting way too much information into one display. I mean, you're going to see vehicles that probably have more than one display just because of all the information they're trying to display to consumers. And, you know, there's been some history with certain nav systems that, you know, you have to, everything is so deeply embedded within the nav system that the consumer doesn't even know what's there. So they're trying not to overtax them too much, and that is a concern.
Okay, that sounds good. And finally, you know, the NHTSA proposal talked about a cost of $159 to $203 to the end consumer for this. And I would assume that would be the cost that they estimated this was widespread, you know, adopted by everyone. And I wanted to know how your thoughts as far as your current price of your RCD played into that, if you feel you need to make concessions, if that was the case, the end consumer cost, or are you okay as far as the price that you're charging to the OEMs now?
We think the prices that they quoted throughout were low, and we're not certain how they arrived at the pricing.
Okay, thank you.
And that does conclude our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to our speakers for any further comments.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate everyone's participation in this. We'll be around if you have any additional follow-up phone calls. Again, thanks for participating. Have a good day.
That does conclude our conference, and we appreciate your participation.